tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we are speaking with Dawn Benefield. Dawn found her passion in animal welfare after a tiny kitten showed up on her doorstep. Then came another and another. While researching why there were so many outdoor cats, she began volunteering with a group of women who were assisting people in need of help with cats. After seeing the decline of field services for community cats in Indianapolis, Indy Neighborhood Cats was formed as a 501c3 with a few thousand dollars and a desire to reduce the suffering of cats outside. Indy Neighborhood Cats has now trapped, fixed, and vaccinated just over 8,000 cats in just 4.5 years. Indy Neighborhood Cats now has 4 key programs which assist residents in complying with the Indianapolis Community Cat Ordinances. Once outdoor cats are fixed, residents must provide shelter, food, and care. When not helping cats, Dawn loves snuggling with her 2 fur children, Bonnie and Smokey, and also loves music and theater and is an avid reader. Dawn, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having us, Stacey. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. And you are a past guest on the show. So we will refer folks to our previous episode that folks can tune into to find out more about your history and your discovery in getting involved with Indy Neighborhood Cats. Give us a quick update. What's been happening with Indy Neighborhood Cats over the last year or so?
Well, we've been really busy. So this year we started working with some of the animal welfare leaders in Indianapolis, and we just launched an independent strategic plan to help improve the state of animal welfare here. So we're really excited. It's an independent firm that's taking on this. It's private funding from different funders that we have all worked with, and we can't wait to sit down and dream big about the next 10 years in Indianapolis and how we can improve the lives of all of the animals here. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting. We have, over the past year or two, we have heard of organizations pulling funding for community cats, for spay neuter. Seems like a lot of programs have had to pull back on the amount of services that they're offered. So it's really wonderful to hear about an area doing some strategic planning, looking to the future with the focus on really taking care of the animals in their community. So that's very exciting and sounds fun and collaborative. So congratulations to you. And it should be exciting to see what happens over the next several years with regards to that initiative.
We're really hopeful about it. You know, we've experienced the same challenges with funding. So it's one of the reasons that we thought we needed to sit and look at what programs and services we have today as a whole, and what we're going to need to look forward to, especially with this post-pandemic era, because I think that's why a lot of rescues and shelters and community cat organizations are experiencing so many problems. We're living in a different world, and we have to look at what the world's going to look like and how to go about continuing the work.
Before we hit the recording button, we were talking about how it can be somewhat challenging to identify whether we should do trap, neuter, return, or trap, neuter, and rescue, or trap and rescue, that people have a really hard time making that decision. And a lot of people are always asking me, you know, should we just trap, neuter, and return everybody without asking sort of questions of the cat? And I think you have a bit of a mental checklist as to what you go through in order to determine what's the best outcome for that cat. Would you be willing to share some of your sort of your flow chart on this decision-making process?
Absolutely. So first of all, if there's going to be any delay in us determining what happens with a cat and a cat's been regular at a colony, we will trap, neuter, and return it back to that caretaker. We have to, a lot of times people find friendly cats and say, oh, they must need a home. So we do a trap, neuter, return. However, there are times when a new cat shows up and they just don't quite seem to be fitting in. And so we've gone through a process of talking to our volunteers and caretakers, and we're working on messaging to the general community about not catnapping. Because you and I know there's a lot of indoor-outdoor cats and a lot of outdoor-owned cats that live in our neighborhoods, right? So one of the things that we look for first are visual signs of a cat not taking care of themselves and being very skittish. So is a cat coming after your major feeding time? Most colony caretakers will feed at a certain time every day. And a cat that is a house cat that's been lost or abandoned will tend to hang back from the rest of the colony and wait until everyone's done to see if there's anything left over. That house cat might also only eat when they see a person nearby that's watching over them. They may not want to come up to you because there's a bit of a myth that house cats, when they get out, will be much more friendly to humans than a stray feral cat. And we know that's not true. Cats take a lot of time to decompress in traumatic situations. And it could be months before a house cat might feel comfortable approaching a human. So we look for those kinds of situations first. If we hear that there's a cat that's just getting bullied and beat up, we also ask caretakers and people in the general public if they've gone to neighbors and gotten pictures together and gone through their neighborhood canvassing to see if somebody knows the cat. Locally, we have an Indy Lost Pet Alert. So we ask anyone that finds a cat and they're unsure of where it needs to be to post a pet sighting in Indy Lost Pet Alert. So if someone is looking for their lost pet, they can go there to see if maybe somebody has spotted them and what those cross streets are. And we also obviously encourage microchip checking, but we know the percentage of cats that are actually microchipped historically, and that's improving. And then the basic condition of paws. So if there is a cat that will come up to a caretaker that they can handle, and it's an adult cat, we look at the paws. If a cat lived outside for 4, 5, 6 years, you can tell that those paws, almost like someone that works in physical labor, has hands that are a bit more calloused and scratched up than someone that works in an office all day. Those are great signs of house cats that might not belong outside.
So do you determine this when the cat's in the trap or when the cat is outdoor feeding with the colony?
This is out while they're feeding with the colony before we schedule that trapping. So we're looking for some of those signs so that we know we may have a potential cat that needs rescue placement. And we start that process either before or after we get that cat fixed, but we'll always return it until we finish that process. Until we've gone through all the steps, we encourage that cat to stay where it's at. It's been regular with that feeder until we go through all of the due diligence before we seek rescue.
One of the things that became very popular in Massachusetts when I was running the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society is that we would recommend folks use a paper collar for 2 weeks if they think that they have a lost cat that, you know, has joined their colony and that they're concerned about if they can get near enough to the cat, if the cat does come close enough to them. If you're talking about being able to look at their paws, then maybe you are able to get a paper collar around that cat. And we recommend that for 2 weeks with your phone number on it, just to fully confirm and identify that this is truly a lost cat, or is a caretaker out there, is somebody taking care of that cat and it just happens to be coming over and enjoying the food. So I understand you have a interesting model because it's a flavor of what we call trap, neuter, return, manage, a little bit of M there. So you are much more involved with the colony management side of things than maybe some other communities are. But we would recommend that someone would have a paper collar on that cat for 2 weeks before determining that there isn't an owner. And then that basically clears the path for a rescue plan to be put in place to bring that cat into a shelter or a rescue. And at the Community Cats Podcast, we do have a paper collar template. And scanning is great, but not everybody has a microchip scanner. So you have to, it involves usually bringing the cat into a veterinarian to have it scanned.
Yes.
And that costs a vet visit. Some shelters offer free scanning, but it also means bringing the cat into the facility. And so, you know, that just is another added layer of stress to cats, because cats really don't love to hop in the car and go for a ride. But the paper collar is really a good way to identify whether there is a dedicated owner or not. In my dream world, I would love to have microchip scanners available for checkout at the library so that people could check out the scanner and then utilize it in the backyard. So easy to scan a cat while it's eating at the food bowl and not paying attention. I think that would be super ideal, but I don't think we're there yet.
That's a good point. Since we're working on that strategic plan, I like talking about new initiatives to make standard. But we are fortunate here in Indianapolis that most veterinary practices, even the emergency vets, will scan a cat for free for a microchip if you bring them in, at least here locally. And that might be something that's very regional. So we're fortunate like that. But I do love the idea of paper collars. I know that there was another organization that had paper collars presented to them, but you just expressed to me some really good success with that. So I'd love to see that as something that we can add to this repertoire in Indianapolis.
It's cheap, at least. You know, people are like, well, what happens if the paper collar falls off? Well, you put another collar on. There's not a huge cost element to it. And you know what? You could even have a scenario where that paper collar is on the cat. That collar just identifies that somebody wants to take action with that cat and find placement. And maybe there's somebody going, wow, this cat's not really owned, but I've been feeding the cat. Maybe I'll take ownership of it too.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
So it's just one of those cool tools that are out there so that then we're not loading the system with cats that really don't need to be there or be part of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you passionate about the well-being of feline leukemia-positive cats, or would you like to learn more about FELV? Then mark your calendars for a truly special occasion. The Community Cats Podcast proudly presents our highly anticipated event, Online Feline Leukemia Day, presented in partnership with the Tompkins Foundation. Join us on July 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for an enriching experience where leading experts from veterinarians to shelter specialists converge to share cutting-edge insights on feline leukemia studies and advancements in care. Discover invaluable suggestions to initiate and uphold policies and programs aimed at finding loving homes for these special kitties through fostering and adoption. Don't miss out on an opportunity to make a difference. Join us for this virtual conference and be a part of the compassionate movement to care for our FELV-positive furry friends. Go to communitycatspodcast.com/FELV day to save your virtual seat. Again, space is limited, so don't wait. Visit communitycatspodcast.com/FELV day to register today.
Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together. Whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering, people can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. #BeAHelper. Are you a proud cat parent looking for the perfect, affordable health care for your kitty? Well, look no further than the Community Cat Clinic, conveniently located in Woodstock, Georgia, just north of Atlanta and not too far from the Tennessee and South Carolina borders. The health and happiness of all cats are the top priorities at this feline-only hospital. From preventative care, spay, neuter, and vaccines, to specialized and innovative treatments like full-mouth dental, ultrasound, radio, iodine therapy, emergency blockage cases. They got your cat's well-being covered. For the TNR community and local shelters, they offer easy-to-access, low-cost spay-neuter services and volume appointments. So if you want to do a large TNR project, this is the clinic you want to go to. It's worth the extra trip. Appointments are available most days. Check out the Community Cat Clinic online at communitycatclinic.com or visit them in person at the Walmart Shopping Center at the Shops of Trickum on Highway 92 at Trickum Road in Woodstock, Georgia. More purr, less price.
We're going to be fixing over about 2,100 cats before the end of the year here in Indianapolis. We have only looked for rescue placement for 25 to 30. And again, we have resources on our website so that people know the steps that they can take. But our shelters won't take a cat if it's not been posted on Indy Lost Pet Alert. They want to see that owners have been, there's been an attempt to find the people that are claiming this cat. So we are fortunate to have a lot of strong values as far as maintaining colonies and working that system. But we have a long way to go because there have been a lot more cats and dogs out on our streets now over the last 2 years.
Why is that? What has happened to increase the population so much?
Well, let's see. Here locally, I know that we had our municipal shelter go into emergency mode for almost 2 years, where they were only taking sick and injured animals off the streets. And there have been some national organizations that have been advocating for community block captain kind of triage when you find an animal outside, keeping it in their home, taking it in, trying to find an owner because of that. And with a metropolitan area that has a significant poverty rate, you can't maintain a program like that in any strong way without giving people the resources to care for those animals and keep them in their homes or bring them in their homes trying to find owners. And so I think that we've just, at least here locally, and I know with other organizations struggling, there have been a lot of emphasis on just keep them outside, try to find their home. Don't take them to the shelter. And our shelter not taking a lot of animals that weren't sick or injured until it became absolutely necessary. So a lot more people having to leave their animals behind instead of surrendering them.
Yeah, you were mentioning about some of the challenges economically and a lot of housing evictions, and you've seen quite a bit of abandonment. I was on a phone call earlier today where a lot of shelters were seeing cats and dogs being abandoned due to mental health issues. And that was on the significant rise in the region that I was having this phone call with. But you've seen a lot with regards to eviction. Is that true?
Either Indianapolis or Indiana has the third highest eviction rate in the country. So it is absolutely, when you're looking at contacting a shelter and being told it's going to be 8 to 10 weeks to do an owner surrender, and you've got 30 days to get out of your house. Unfortunately, again, people, whether it is, and a lot of people in poverty do have other co-issues. We work twice a week at a pet food pantry to help community cat caretakers feed the cats that they take care of outside through a partnership with Friends of Indianapolis Dogs Outside. And we deal with many people that are living from crisis to crisis, whether it's mental illness, addiction, loss of employment, underemployment, disability. And you can't expect someone to be able to make the same choices that someone else does that may see a financial problem coming to have the time. So they have to make those desperate choices. Those animals are found out on the street. And the things that go along with that, especially with dogs, dogs searching colony caretakers or feeding stations, you know, dogs are going to go looking for food because they don't know how to feed themselves.
Right.
They are not obligate carnivores. They can just go out and hunt. And when they find a colony station that's got some cat food, they're like, I'm starving. And community cats can be pretty possessive over that resource. And it gets them into a lot of trouble. And it's not the dog's fault. So we're really experiencing a very robust crisis here. And if you can imagine that the regular cat populations that and a million resident in the area that we serve, the Indy neighborhood cats, we've had about 3,000 more cats not going into the sheltering system that really needed to.
Wow.
So we're not talking about abandoned house pets so that we can get more cats into rescue. It's really looking for those that truly are abandoned. And we know there are a lot more of them out there and getting them into that sheltering system. While our first mission is just getting them fixed because the breeding is phenomenal.
So in the owned cat population in Indianapolis, is there enough low-cost spay-neuter services to sort of prevent these cats from, if they do have to be abandoned? My objective was always to ensure that they were spayed and neutered before they got abandoned, which is extremely unfortunate, but I want to make sure they're spayed and neutered so that they're not going to have kittens. Is there enough capacity in Indianapolis for that?
There is not enough capacity at a low enough price point without a rigid appointment process to keep up with that, which is another reason, again, why we're going through the strategic planning. We need to know what it's required. There was a national report done about access to veterinary care, and we're not talking about access to low-cost veterinary care here. And Marion County rated 28 out of 100, and 100 being the highest access to veterinary care, 28 out of 100, and I believe it was one vet to every 1,000 pets. That didn't include outdoor cats. So the donut counties that surround us, which tend to flood our lower-cost clinics because there aren't low-cost clinics in their counties, rate about a 90 or above with access to veterinary care. But again, shelters and rescues look for low cost. So we're nowhere near the capacity that we need for accessible, low to no cost bay neuter for cats in general, whether they're outdoor cats or indoor cats, rescued cats, not anywhere near. We need to be performing about 25,000, 30,000 surgeries inside the city limits each year. We might be doing about 20 at the moment.
Wow. It sounds like you've really done your strategic homework, though. This is great. These numbers are fantastic because it's important to know what your goals are, what you're striving for, because if you don't ask these questions, then you're not going to be able to develop a plan. And it might be daunting at first. It might seem overwhelming at first, but everybody in every community, this is a situation where, you know, Dawn and the strategic planning group, they're seeing it. They're trying to solve it. They're trying to resolve these challenges and these issues that are impacting the lives of cats in their community. And that's what needs to happen in every community that's out there. You really need to think about what's our goal, what's our target. And again, you might think it's unattainable, but getting a group of people together that are like-minded and creative, you'll be able to think about some different solutions. And I think really be able to make magic for the cats in your community.
Also, building these strategic plans will hopefully change the narrative with national funders that are not prioritizing spay neuter as the most proactive approach at ending overpopulation and crisis in communities. So that is a trend that you just mentioned a lot of people notice. Without dreaming big and showing people what we think is needed, we'll never get that dial changed, and we need that to change mightily.
Excellent. Dawn, if folks are interested in finding out more about Indy Neighborhood Cats, how would they do that?
The best way would be to go to our website, indyneighborhoodcats.org, or join us on Facebook. We have a very robust Facebook page, which is facebook.com/indyneighborhoodcats.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I think just the most important thing is to keep going. We've seen a lot of people in animal welfare that tend to get puttered out and emotionally drained. But I would say keep going. Find the like-minded people in your community that have influence and want to sit down and look at the data. Think big. And I believe that anything is possible if you just keep going.
Dawn, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Thanks, Stacy, for having us.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.